Isaiah 34, verse 16, the solution to the problem of being away from God, of not being right with God, verse 16, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and the Spirit it hath gathered them, and he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein." So in the midst of this reminder that the sword of the Lord of judgment is coming, we saw last week, God gives the solution, and that is, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. So let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom. Use your word in our hearts this evening. Thank you for this privilege. We love you. We commit this time to you and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Really, just two things in this verse. But without these two things, you will not be the Christian God wants you to be. You will not grow the way God wants you to grow. And you will face, because you're not growing the way God wants you to grow, you're going to face some issues from the Lord, some chastisement most likely. But he gave Israel the answer and they didn't listen. Number one, seek. Seek ye where? Out of the book of the Lord. God wants his children, and Israel were his children, we are his children. God wants his children to seek the truth from his word. And it's there, but it's not automatic. It doesn't happen by osmosis. We must seek. We must dig. We must look for the answers in God's word. David had the right attitude. Let's look at a couple of scriptures together. Well, more than a couple. Well, let's go to Psalm 19 and look at verse 10. Of course, a couple can just mean more than two, I guess. But Psalm 19, verse 10, I just want you to see that David's attitude towards the word of the Lord was that he sought the truth in the word. Notice Psalm 19, 10. "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honeycomb." This is talking about the word of the Lord. God says it is to be desired. Interesting, then we get to the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, and speaking to Christians, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. God wants his word to be desired. Now let's go to Psalm 119. This is the longest chapter in the Bible, which happens to be about the word of God that David wrote for us. Beautiful. Beautiful chapter. If you ever want to be have your love for the word reignited, just read Psalm 119. But notice Psalm 119, verse 40. We'll look at a couple scriptures in this chapter. Verse 40, David said, "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." Is that our attitude toward the word of God? I've longed after it. Now look at Psalm 119, verse 45. "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." I seek them. And then Psalm 119, verse 131, he said, "I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments." We get to the New Testament, go to John chapter 5, where we were this morning, and Jesus, after talking about the resurrection, which we looked at this morning, gave them the answer. The answer has always been the same. Go to the Word of God, because that's where the truth is. Notice John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Search the Scriptures. You know, the Bible talks about the Christians at Berea in Acts chapter 17. Verse 11, it says, "These weren't more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so." It says, "They received the truth with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily." Those Berean Christians, they heard what Paul had to say. Of course, all they had at that point was the Old Testament, but they went and got their copy of the Old Testament and they checked it out. They didn't just take his word for it. They searched the Scriptures and confirmed that what Paul was telling was the truth. And so God wants us to seek it, to desire His Word. What did Jesus say in the desert when He was tempted by the devil? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is our food. It is our nourishment. It is what is going to grow us. I was sharing that with the young man this morning after he got saved. We have to be feeding on the Word of God if we're going to grow the way God wants us to grow. And so He wants us to seek out of the Word of the Lord. And there's so much to find. Notice, if you would, John chapter 20 and verse 31. John revealed to us why he wrote the Gospel of John. He says, "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." Now, if you would look at the next chapter in John, verse 25. "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, in the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen." You realize what John is saying there in the last verse of the Gospel of John? He's saying that if God had desired to give us a bigger Bible, He would have. So God gave us exactly what we need. 66 books, 31,000 verses. He gave us the exact amount of Scripture that we needed. He could have made it this big, this big, this big. This is what He wanted us to have. And there's so much in here, but God wants us to desire, to seek, to search, to dig, to constantly be in the Word of God, looking for the truth. And the Bible commands us, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. This book has the answers. This book has the power to change us, to change lives. So Isaiah, in speaking to the Israelites, says, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read." Well, before we talk about the read word, I want us just to quickly think about why it is so important that we do this. It's because of the power of this book. The power of this book is beyond our comprehension. And you know, in talking about the power of the Word of God, I just want to share with you some of the words that God uses. Now, most of us are familiar with Hebrews 4:12. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." A sword is obviously a symbol of strength and power. God likens the Word of God to a sword. If you would look at Jeremiah 23 and verse 29, God likens the Word to two other things that reveal power. Jeremiah 23:29. Actually, I don't have it written down here. Jeremiah 23:29. "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" So here he likens the Word of God to fire and a hammer. Of course, a hammer, what does it do? Breaks things down, pounds nails in. What's a fire do? But it consumes. That's the power of the Word of God. Now, David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path," in Psalm 119:105. So the Word of God has the power to light our way, to show us where we need to go. Peter said, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word." I quoted that verse earlier. The Bible's likened to nourishment, to milk. Paul in Hebrews chapter 5 says that there is meat in the Word of God. So he's likening it again to food. Jesus, in talking about the Word of God, referred to it as a seed. The sower and the seed and the sower parable. The Word of God has the power to regenerate and bring life in our lives. And, of course, the Bible says that the Word of God is like silver in Psalm 12, purified seven times. And then Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 55. In talking about the power of the Word of God, Isaiah likens the Word of God to rain and snow of all things, which God, of course, knows all about since He created those things. But notice Isaiah 55, verse 10, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, so shall my word be It maketh it bring forth in blood, that may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We would all die if there wasn't rain, because nothing would grow. And the word is likened there to the water that God sends down from the heavens to keep this earth alive. And then in Ephesians 5, he likens it to water again. The washing of water by the word, Ephesians 5:26. So the word of God has that power. And the Bible even says the word of God has the power to save us. 1 Peter 1:23. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So the word of God, I think we'll all agree, is powerful. But let's go to James chapter 1, one last one on the power of the Word of God. It wasn't my last scripture, just on this one. James chapter 1 and verse 23. Here, God likens the Word of God to a mirror. Notice James 1:23. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Beholding his face in the glass. And when that happens, he can either walk away and forget what he saw, or respond to what he saw. When we open this book, when we seek in this book, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit takes it and reflects back to us what we are. The problems in our life, the sins that need dealt with, the areas where we need to grow, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and accomplishes that. When we go to church and the Word of God is preached, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. This book has the power to change us. Amen? And if you look back on your Christian life from the day you were saved until now, I'm hoping that you can say that you're more mature than you were when you were first saved as a Christian. If you're not, either you haven't been saved very long or you need some counseling. But how did that happen? How did you grow? How did you become a more mature Christian? How did you grow in the fruit of the Spirit? How did you grow in your understanding of spiritual things? Where did that come from? It came from the Word of God. The Word of God grew you. And so God told Israel, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. There's your answer, Israel. Go back to the book. And of course, they didn't do it. And they were judged. But we have today, if you go to Amos chapter 8, we have today the famine that God prophesied of. And that is a famine of hearing what's in this book. It's not a famine of the availability of the book. The Bible's the best-selling book in the world. And at least for English speakers, there's no shortage of Bibles. I would reckon that almost everybody in this room has more than one in their home. But notice Amos 8:11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That day is here. The Bible says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall be turned unto fables. They shall turn their ears away from hearing the truth. That time is now. Where people do not want to hear the Word of God, that famine is here. But it shouldn't be true for Christians. And yet, how many Christians only open their Bible at church? And wonder why they're not growing the way God wants them to grow. If you go to Deuteronomy 11, we'll see an example from Israel again. This was their beginning while God was giving them the law. God was also showing them that the law wasn't just a book, but it was the living Word of God that could change their lives. Notice Deuteronomy 11:18. Therefore, shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. It sounds like the Bible was important. In your heart and in your soul. Now we get to Psalm 1. The Bible says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. There in Psalm 1, verse 2. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Where's that prosperity come from? The Word of God. The Word of God. Peter says, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Peter 3:18. And while you're in the Old Testament, look at Joshua 1:8, if you would. Just before they went into the promised land, under the leadership of their new leader, Joshua, God reminded them that when they go into the promised land, that the Word of God needed to be a vital part of their lives. In the beginning it was, over time it wasn't. Notice Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but, and here's the key, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Wow. That still holds true for us today. Meditate therein day and night. Because you know what will happen? Look at the next part of the verse. That thou mayest observe to do. There's the key. To do according to all that is written therein. God's desire is obedience. The more we're in the Word of God, the more we're meditating day and night in the Word of God, the more we're hiding it in our hearts, the more we'll be inclined to do all that is written therein. And then he goes on to say, then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The only occurrence of the word success in the entire Bible is Joshua 1:8. And it's related to the Word of God. So, God gave the answer. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. One more verse, Isaiah chapter 30, which we looked at recently. Verse 21. It's amazing, these beautiful nuggets tucked away in this book of judgment. Of how to avoid the judgment. It's all about the Word. Isaiah verse 30, verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. God is not going to speak to us audibly today. The Bible's finished. But there is a way that God wants us to walk. And He's written it down. He's given it to us in His Word. And we are commanded to seek and to read and to study and to meditate and to memorize God's powerful Word. And if we do, you know what's going to happen? We're going to grow. We're going to grow and grow and grow and become more like Jesus, which is what He wants. This is our food. This is what has the power to change lives. As far as things that we could put our hands on this earth, that we could touch and feel, things that have the power to change us, this is it. I mean, the Holy Spirit has the power to change us, but we can't touch or feel Him. He's the Holy Ghost. But we can hold this book and say, this is not just a book. This is a supernatural gift from God that has the power to lead the way, to protect us, to guide us, to grow us, to do all that we need to be what God wants us to be. But if we don't open it, it won't happen. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Let's be seeking, Christians. Let's be seeking in the Word of God every day. And you know what? When we seek, we'll find. Amen? We will find.